Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today, if you'll stay tuned, that God's going to speak to you from His precious Word. His Word is living. His Word is faithful. His Word is true. He watches over His Word to perform it. Today, if you'll hear the Word and receive it, I know there'll be a change in your life. But before I bring you a message that God is laying on my heart, I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for all of my listeners today. You know every need is on the altars of the heart. You know the ones, Lord, that need financial touch. The ones that are sick in their bodies and need help. Ones who have children who have gone astray and in trouble. Help them this day, I pray, O Lord. And I pray, God, that you reach down and minister to the churches today and give the pastors hope and encouragement. In this hour that we're now in our country, I pray you bring revival in our land. I pray for America and I pray for our leaders and ask God that you stir their hearts, cause them to come under repentance. And for all of those that are listening who are not born again, let them realize that the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. Give him revelation knowledge that they must know that they must be born again. Make that real to them, Lord, I pray. Thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. Now, Father, speak to us through your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk about a condition that we're facing in our lives and in our country. And I want to give you the word of hope. And God's word has hope in it. I talked to a young man the other day, and as I talked to him, he said, I'm worried. I'm troubled. I know things are bad in our country, and I know things are not right, and I just don't know what to do. People are concerned, but I tell you, God's Word has the answer. God's Word has comfort. The Holy Spirit came to comfort us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And if we will let God's Word speak to in our hearts today, we can see a change in our lives. Today, I'd like to speak out of Acts chapter 16. And I want to start reading from verse 16, Acts 16:16. And this is talking about Paul and Silas on one of their missionaries' journey. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination or fortune telling met us and which bought her masters much gain or much money by soothsaying or by fortune teller. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. In this portion of scripture, there was a slave girl who had a demonic spirit in her that could cause her to tell fortunes. And she followed Paul and Silas around, and she told them, said, these are the men of God. Now, it's something that a devil would follow you around, and everybody known that she was possessed. That's not a good endorsement for your ministry. And the Bible says that Paul being grieved many days. How many of you know that if you let the devil run over you, you're going to be grieved? He turned to her, and he said, in the name of Jesus. He turned to that spirit and said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And immediately that spirit had to come out in that self-same hour, the Bible says. But then the Bible tells us here that when her masters saw that she was of no more value to them, then they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace. You see, when their money was touched, then they took it out on Paul and Silas. And this is what they did. I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to pay close attention to what the word is saying. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men do exceedingly trouble our city. I want to know how casting a demon out of a person is going to trouble the city. The only people it's going to trouble are the ones that's making money off of the poor souls that are bound by demonic spirits. The troubling of the city will come when the drug pushers can't have control over the drug addicts. when the bootleggers and those that selling alcohol have no control and no charge over the alcoholics, they've been set free in the name of Jesus. It'll trouble a wicked city when they see that prostitution has to cease because the prostitutes have given their heart and life to God. Listen to me. When the devil only uses you to make gain off of you and profit off of you, when they see that that's stopped, then they rise up and try to stop the Christian work. Because they're not interested in the people. They wasn't interested in this girl. They was just interested in the money she bought them. And that's the condition we're seeing in America right now. There's laws being passed in our country that are making what our country no longer can overcome and put under. They're legalizing it. They're making it legal. They don't really care about the people themselves, but it's the money that these things are bringing in. We know there are certain habits that come up in people's lives that are harmful to their health and cause many deaths, but no laws are being made against it, actually for it, because it's bringing in money. There's laws being made across our land that says that you can abort babies and there's no restriction on it. And it's not because they're concerned for the women. It's because of the money that is bringing in. And if you think any differently, you're sadly mistaken. I want you to know you're sadly mistaken. You cut the money out and you see how far that thing goes. If you don't believe me, just try it. Cut the money out. You'll see how much love and compassion these so-called politicians and people have on you. And this is what they did to Paul and Silas when Paul and Silas preached the word and the power of God came in. The Bible says they took him before the court and tried to shut him up. Does that sound familiar? They took him before the court and tried to shut him up because they didn't want their evil deeds to stop. I want to repeat that again. Some of you are catching what I'm saying. They took him before the court to shut him up because their deeds, their money had been touched. They wanted him to shut up because they wanted to continue on with their evil deeds. What's happening in our country today? People are taking Christians to court trying to shut them up because they don't want to hear the truth that's coming forth because it's going to affect their money and they're going to affect their hold they have on these people that they're holding in bondage. And this is what they did. They accused Paul and Silas of going against the government. This is not right in the government. They shouldn't do this. They said because it being Romans that this shouldn't go on. They used the power of God and what God was doing. They brought the government in. This is against the government. And they used the government against Paul and Silas to shut them up. Does that sound familiar? It's against the law to pray in Jesus' name. It's against the law to give out Bibles. It's against the law to have 10 commandments. They're using the government to shut the Christians up. If you can't see that, you've been blind a long time. It's the government. Hey, nothing's new under the sun. The same thing these people did to Paul and Silas, they're doing to Christians today. They use the government to shut them up. If you don't believe it, read this yourself. Get your Bible out and read yourself. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Being Romans, it's against the law. It's not for our government. What if you have an evil and wicked government? What then? Okay? Think about that for a while. And the multitude rose up together against them. See, when they went to the government and they went to the court, then they caused the multitudes to rise up against Paul and Silas. Does that sound familiar? When they take the Christian to court to accuse them for praying in Jesus' name, and that's exactly the only thing that Paul and Silas done was pray in Jesus' name. See that, please. The only thing Paul and Silas done was pray in Jesus' name. They had ended up in court and caused the multitudes to come against them. Sound familiar? If not, turn on your news or pick up a newspaper. You'll get some of the truth there. And then this is what they did to the Christians. In verse 22 of Acts 16, they rent off their clothes and commanded them to be beat. They debased them. They made them look foolish. They tried to hurt them. And they ripped off their clothes to shame them. Why did they do such a horrible thing? And then it says, and it beat them. The Bible said they were laid with many stripes. Why did they do that to Paul and Silas? One reason only. They prayed in Jesus' name, and it made the devil mad. They ended up court. They ended up, the multitudes was against them. They ended up being debased, and they ended up being beaten, being persecuted, only because they prayed in the name of Jesus. If you don't think that's not happening in the United States of America today, you better wake up, church. You better wake up, people, because it's happening right now in the name of Jesus. You can use any other name you want to, but you cannot. Even our servicemen, the chaplains in the service, are forbidden to use the name of Jesus. You can't hire enough law enforcement to stop evil when you take out God in a country. You can't even get enough of them in there. You're not going to stop it because evil will run rampant. Watch what happened to Paul and Silas. And it laid them with many stripes on them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. They beat them. They debased them. They took them to court, turned the multitudes against them. That's what Hitler done to the Jews. Debased them, turned the multitudes against them. And the first thing you know, they ended up in the concentration camps and in the furnaces of fire, in the death camps. Read your history. Read the Bible. Look at your newspaper today. It's a repeat. It's a repeat. And then right here it says, he charged the jailer to keep him safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust him in the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now I want you to picture this. All they did was pray in the name of Jesus. They prayed in the name of Jesus. People got mad because they used the name of Jesus. They used the government against them. They debased them. They put them in inner prison. They chained them up, fixed it to where they couldn't move around, couldn't go out and preach no more. They wanted to stop them all together from preaching. They wanted to threaten them with bodily harm, threaten them with assassination of their character, being thrown in prison, and chained to a wall. Oh, my gracious. If you could just see what's happening. But I want you to stay with me now. There's more. I want you to pay attention. At such an hour that, picture yourself if you had been in Paul and Silas' position. All you did was pray in the name of Jesus, and devils had to fly. You were taken to court. You were falsely accused. The government came against you. The multitude joined in with the government. They beat you. They debased you. They ripped off your clothes before the public. They beat you with laid you with many stripes. Give a jailer a charge over you, put you in prison, and change you to a wall. What would you do? What would you do? How would you get out of that? I throw your hands up, say, that's it, I quit, I give up. We got people in churches today, if the air conditioning ain't just right, they'll get up and walk out. We got people in churches today that if you say one thing about sin and it don't hit them just right, they won't ever come back again. We got people in churches today that if you don't shake your hands just right or tell them just how beautiful they are, they'll walk out, won't ever come back again, and tell everybody you don't love them no more. Let me tell you something. These men had a backbone for Jesus as big as a saw log, and they weren't dependent on feelings. If they were dependent on feelings, they'd have given up, they'd have threw their hands up when they were drug up in court. But they didn't do that. They didn't deny Jesus. They didn't renounce their faith. They went on, and they suffered through what they had to suffer through because, you see, they knew that the power was not in man. The power was in their God. And in verse 25, I love this in the book of Acts, he said, and at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, it couldn't get no darker. But you know what? It didn't really matter because Paul and Silas couldn't see the light of day where they was at. They couldn't tell if it was midnight, daybreak, or what time because there was no windows in that prison. And he said, at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, we know that's the dark. Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God. They prayed, and they sang praises. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. They were not in there mumbling under their breath. They did not have the organ player with them. They didn't have the Stamps and Baxter's hymnal books with them. They didn't have the praise team didn't show up. The deacons didn't show up. A Bell's bondsman didn't show up. Nobody sent a care package in the prison for them. They were in there just by themselves, chained to a wall, charged, the jailer charged to watch over them. And if he let them out, it meant his life. And they, at the midnight hour, they began to pray and praise their God. Nothing was going to shut them up. Public humiliation wasn't going to shut them up. Being dragged before the courts was not going to shut them up. Being beaten, laid with many stripes was not going to shut them up. Nothing was going to stop them from using the name of Jesus. And I want to ask you a question right now. Where are you today, old church member? What will shut you up? A cross-eyed look, ill word said to you in church, what will shut you up? What will cause you to throw your hands up and quit? But the Bible says at the midnight hour, I want to see somebody who has a midnight hour faith. I want to see somebody who's got midnight hour faith. I want to see somebody who can pray when everything is dark. And if you don't think it's dark in our country now, you've been under a rock for a long time. You need to come out from under the rock and see what's going on. At the dark hour they prayed. And I'm telling you, church, you better get up and pray. You better muster up a song of praise. You better begin to worship your God, because the only thing, the one and only that's going to get us out of the situation we're in, the only thing that's going to turn the tide in our nation today is men and women who will not back up and quit using the name of Jesus, and will know how to pray and praise our God. Even when things are dark, He can turn the tide. If you do what they did, you'll get what they got. They prayed, they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. The other people that were in that prison heard them praise God. They knew their situation, and they heard them praise God. They didn't back off. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They wasn't in there grumbling and complaining and trying to call in a lawyer. It wasn't no judge there. It wasn't no lawyer. It wasn't no teams to get them out. They had to depend on their faith in God. Brother Arthur Shambach, I love what he used to have on his tent revival tractor and trailers. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Jesus was always rebuking the people because they didn't believe the word. Not because they didn't understand it, because He made them where you could understand it. They didn't believe it. Once they heard it, they didn't believe it. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. I'm telling you, if you'll take God at His word, I don't care how deep your dungeon is, how dark your cell is, if you'll praise God at the dark hour of the night, God will do something for you. God will bring you some light in there. God will bring you some deliverance. Let's see what happened to Paul and Silas. When they sang and praised God at the midnight hour, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and I want you to stay with me now. You think you've heard this, but I want to show you something God showed me in this scripture. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everybody's bands were loosed. Can you imagine the owner of the jail calling State Farm and saying, listen, we just had an earthquake down here and our foundation has been shaken. I'm sure it's cracked. All the jail doors have been busted open. And we're going to need your man down here to evaluate, assess the trouble that we've had and the damage we've had in our jail. And the guy would say on the other end, well, it's mighty funny. We didn't get an earthquake. Nobody's house was shaken but the jail. How did that happen? How can you have an earthquake in a city and it hit just one building? How can you have an earthquake so great it'll shake a foundation of a jail and the doors of a prison come open and it don't affect nobody else's household but the jail? How does that happen? It's God's. When we built our place, we wanted to have a bar over our doors when we traveled. And a friend of ours was helping tear down the Lynchburg City Jail. And I asked him, I said, can you get me one of them Lynchburg City Jail doors, jail doors? He said, sure, we got plenty of them. And he bought that thing to us. It took 5 guys to get that thing off the back of the pickup. And when we stood it up to bolt it through the side of our house, we couldn't do it because it was so heavy. The tin on the house, it wouldn't even hold it. That's how heavy them things are. We just put it over in the bank over next to the house. It's still laying there. It'll never go nowhere. Let me tell you, the power of God come down. It's no jail cell door too heavy that God can't shake. I want you to know that. Don't think God can't shake where you're at. No hospital bed so strong that God can't shake it and get you out of it. No tore up marriage is so strong that God can't shake that thing and fix it for you and help you and deliver you. There's no child running wild and so deep in sin that God can't shake that child and bring them to salvation. Don't you think God can't shake for it has to be. God will do what he's got to do to get his children out, and he did. The Bible says this. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of sleep. Now remember, if this jailer had let these prisoners go and they escaped, it meant death, a horrible death for him. This is what happened. I want you to listen very carefully, and this is what I want you to see what God is telling us right now. And the keeper of the prison waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. It had been better for him to kill himself than to be turned over to the Romans. And supposing that all that the prisoners had been fled. Now this is the verse that I want you to hear. Verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We're still here. We've been beat, but we're still here. We've been falsely accused, but we're still here. We've had the multitudes turn against us, but we're still here. We've been debased and humiliated, but we're still here. We've been laid with many stripes, but we're still here. We've been chained to a wall in filthy conditions, but we're still here. It's been hot, it's been bad, and we haven't been fed, but we're still here. We've been talked about, we've been lied on, but we're still here. The government come against us, but we still here. Do yourself no harm. We don't have rabbit fever. We haven't run. We still here. And that is the message that God has for us today. We still here. I've been tried. I've been over the mountains. I've been in the valleys. I've had people be good to me, but then I've had people not so good to me. But I'm still here. I've seen great preachers come and go, and some fall, some stay, but I'm still here. I've seen people walk in faith one day, and next minute they quit, but we're still here. We've seen people try to destroy the Bible and say and talk about it, but we're still here. There's people trying to shut down Christianity, but we're still here. All through the ages of time, they try to destroy Christianity. They try to destroy the name of Jesus, but we're still here. We're still here. I come to tell you, we still here. And when the politicians are gone, and when the presidents are gone, and the White Houses are moved out, we'll still be here, because you'll never overthrow God. You'll never shake his foundation. He'll shake your foundation, but you won't shake his. I love what they said. We still here. Not gone anywhere. We still here. We still here. And we still here. I love it. We still here. At the midnight hour, the dark hour, they praise God. God, when you begin to praise him and you get in his presence, things are going to happen. Too many of us, we talk about how bad people treated us, how hard it is, who come to church and who didn't show up to church, and who's mad at us and who walked out on us. But listen, Jesus is still here. We're still here. Praise him for everything that you got in you. If you'll just go right now and begin to praise God, God will shake the foundations of where you're at. We're still here. It's 11:59, and I feel a praise coming on. It's 11:59 in our country. P.M., I feel a praise coming on. It's 11:59, I feel a praise coming on. It's 11:59, church. Get your praise up. The dark hour is upon us. God is saying right now that in this dark hour, if you'll praise him and pray, seek his will. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All the rest of these things will be added to you. God is saying right now, if you'll seek him at this dark hour, you'll see foundations shaken. But that's not all. The best is yet to come. The jailer came in, and Paul said, do yourself no harm. And he fell down at his feet. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour that night and washed their stripes and was baptized he and all his straightway. All in the house. whole, was baptized, and received Jesus in that selfsame hour. God will cause a revival, even to those that have been put over you to watch you and to keep you from preaching the name of Jesus. If you'll do what's right, God is surely going to do what's right. He'll shake that place. The jailer came in, and his whole household was saved and baptized. Not only that, he cooked Paul and Silas a dinner and cleaned up their wounds and took care of them. And then when they asked where Paul and Silas was, can you imagine trying to explain that? How did this happen? How did all this happen? Well, I don't know how this come to be. All I know, we locked them up, like you said. We chained them up to a wall. They was beat. And then two old boys got back there, and they got to praise in the name of Jesus, the one that you got mad at because they used up there casting that devil out of that girl. They got to calling on the name of Jesus and praising Jesus. And all of a sudden, the foundation of this place began to shake. Doors began to come open. Bands began to fall off. Not only did God open the doors, but he caused the chains to fall off, and God even caused the jailer to bring a light in. I tell you something, I tell you right now, if you'll praise that name that's above every name, in this dark hour that we now live in, God will do the same thing in our country. But we gotta have some people who it knows it's 11:59, it's soon to be midnight, a dark hour is coming greatly on our country, but God is still a mover and a shaker. God is still a redeemer and a blesser. God is still the master of the sea. He's the healer of the sick. He's salvation to the lost. He's deliverance to those that are bound up. He's calling the legions out of the tomb. He's calling the Lazarus forth to bring forth their testimony. He's calling the Davids out of the sheepcote to go face the Goliaths of this world. He's causing people to rise up and know that just because it's a dark hour don't mean he's not going to move greater now than he ever has before. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. The same as in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when God's people went out before the armies and began to praise God in the beauty of holiness, and God said, ambushments against the enemy and destroyed. They destroyed one another to the last man, and all God's people had to do was go out and pick up the treasure. That was a dark hour in Israel. It's a dark hour now, but God is still God. He's God in the morning. He's God at night. He's God at noon. He's God in the valley. He's God on the mountain. He's God everywhere. Praise Him, because He is our deliverer. Praise Him. We're still here. Been through some stuff, but we're still here. Been talked about, but we're still here. Politicians trying to shut us down, but we still here. God's people, God's faithful people, we're still here. God is faithful, and we must be faithful to you. Today I pray that you'll right now just begin to praise your God. Praise Him like you say, well, people around me, they're not praising Him. Hey, it took two men. Two men shook a whole prison. What can you do? Praise God. Praise Him. Don't look at the other people. What if Paul and Silas was waiting on somebody else? They'd still be in there. But they didn't wait on them. They done it themselves. And that's what you and I got to do. Praise Him. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Let Him shake your foundation today. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.